Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Five on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got
five on it. Spent the first hour talking Bears, then talked to Ryan Spielborgs of Apple TV Plus about the Cubs and Tigers series, and Jim Margulis about the White Sox news, both in their succession plan regarding Jerry Reinsdorf and Justin Ishbia, but also in some prospect news that deserves a discussion. Happy Kyle Teal Day to those who observe.
Five on it. Number one.
This is a question inspired by our friends at Marquee Sports Network. There are now 100 games left in the Cubs season. What aspect of the team is most in need of improvement?
It's very simple to me. Starting pitching. You need frontline starting pitching. You're going to see a guy tonight if you're a Cubs fan or just a baseball fan in general when the Cubs play the Tigers and Tarek Skubal, who will remind you what a frontline starter looks like. The Cubs do not currently have one in their rotation. This is what you need if you want to succeed in the postseason. You need at least one of those guys.
Yeah, one of those no doubters. And unfortunately, I agree with you, by the way, it is starting pitching. You can make it really easy by getting Shota Imanaga back. That will improve things when that happens.
I think you need another guy, though. Not Shota's great, but he's not...
You need a far and away ace. As I like to say, I like to spend money on stoppers and boppers.
Oh,
and
I like
you,
that.
Do you know, for example, what Shane Smith was for the White Sox? A stopper. Do you know what Kyle Tucker is? A bopper. And for the Cubs, you need a stopper. Shota Imanaga has filled that role. But you can always use more when you're trying to contend, and this is your year to contend because you made it that way.
And you don't know what's going to happen with Kyle Tucker after this season.
Starting pitching. That's my TED Talk.
So I have a question, too. Let's talk about like a playoff rotation, because I think the Cubs are a playoff team. You have Shota, you have Boyd, you have Tyone, and then who would be that four starter? Is the four starter going to be someone on the team, or is that going to be a new acquisition?
I mean, in this scenario, as is...
It's Cade Horton.
And also, because he's so young and so new to the game, perhaps by that time he's made some adjustments that he needs to make and gotten more consistency, the repetition will help.
Wait, who are the guys you just said?
I heard you right. You have Shota, that's probably your ace. You have Matthew Boyd, you have Jameson Tyone, and then that fourth, is it someone that's currently on this team, or is that a new acquisition being in that fourth spot?
Okay, it's Horton for now, but if they get somebody, it's somebody else.
Yes. It could be Horton or
Alcantara.
Fill in the blank.
...
I think the asking price on Alcantara is going to be massive. Like, Jed Hoyer talked about how it's going to be a seller's market. I think he is an excellent example of what that truly could mean.
As long as the other team doesn't have Tim Elko on it, you should be good.
Five on it.
Number two.
Was yesterday the best day in White Sox history since they won the World Series in 2005?
I'm sorry that the thought is because they're possibly selling the team.
You're saying that's because
the second best day.
No, I think it's a combination of things. He's saying Kyle Till gets called up after the game. They win the game and split with the Tigers, and also Tim Elko has a walk-off hit.
And there's a deal with CHSN, so now more people can watch their games.
More people can watch their games.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I don't think so. I think it was the day that the White Sox actually won the division. Wouldn't that be the
Because they haven't won a playoff series since then, but they have gone to the playoffs.
That was in 2021.
What, when they went, the last time they were in the playoffs? Yes.
No, but also the last time they won the division. Because remember in 2020, they should have.
It was a bad division.
And then they're like, we got some time. We're going to hang out. Look at these clouds or something. And then the next thing you know, they didn't win the division that year. That was the Twins. So I feel like in this case, it was probably this. I understand why the thought process is there. And yes, I mulled it over. But I ultimately still think it was probably the day they won the division in 2021, because that was their first AL Central division title since 2008.
I want to be with you on this, Layla, but problem is, like, I didn't celebrate that division title maybe as much as I should have, because I was like, this division stinks. The team with the next best record is a sub 500 team.
That was not the goal.
And, you know, this is back when you were still playing teams 19 times, right? Yeah. Yes.
The balance schedule was still not happening yet. And also 847 on the text line.
What did it say? What did it say?
Cornfield game. I think you mean the field of dreams game.
I'm going with Tim Anderson. I'm going to the cornfields of Iowa. I was there that night.
Yeah, you mean the field of dreams game where Tim Anderson walked it off against the Yankees. That was incredible.
Highly incredible. That's going to be my most recent.
I think the corn game.
Tony La Russa calling it the corn game. I think that's what that person might be trying to reference.
He wasn't talking about cornhole?
I think the corn game.
What about the blackout game, though? That's up there. 773 mentions that. I do, too, because we talked about it a lot on NBC Sports Chicago, the blackout game.
Yeah.
It looked like the best atmosphere, that's for sure.
But the reason I asked this question is because, like, life has been terrible for a White Sox fan for I don't know how long, but the last 2 years have been incredibly bad.
Says Robbie wearing a Detroit Tigers hat and starter jacket.
I didn't notice I was wearing that at all.
How'd you do your last series against the White Sox?
You know, it really prepared us for this one coming up. You know, it really humbled us, and I think that's going to be a motivational too. And also, Chris Getz, incredible job that he's doing.
He went to my high school.
I hope that the Cubs smack the ever-loving tar out of the ball.
Should we do it?
I second that motion.
Should we reveal what we're going to do? I think we should do the dollar bet. I think the Cubs.
Oh, Cubs! You got the Tigers.
I think the Tigers are going to win the series. I want the dollar bet on the
line.
You
want this with me? You want this action? You can get this
action. I can
do both.
I'll do $2. I can do $3.
You know what?
I'll do a $3 bet.
Let's be serious about this.
Okay.
$2 each.
$2? Oh,
$2 each?
I'm in on this.
That makes it twice as important as our dollar bet.
I will pay the $6. That's how confident I am that I think the Tigers are going to beat the Cubs and win the series. I'm putting that on the air.
No. Yeah, I hope. Like I said, I hope the Cubs mash the ever living tar out of the ball.
I hope they win tonight, like 2-1, just to humble the whole school.
Did you see Ian Happ's home run yesterday?
That thing was gone.
If we were to talk about it, Cubs better lineup, Tigers better pitching. That's why the series is going to be amazing. That's what I'm really.
Tigers pitching isn't that great after school ball.
That's not true.
It's not scary.
We have Jack Flaherty. We have Casey Mize.
Flaherty is pretty good. He's good, but it's not scary.
Like, Flaherty was a sexy free agent name.
And also just the dueling of Craig Counsell and AJ Hinch, which could be two top five managers in the major leagues.
Could have had them both in Chicago.
Cornfield game. Fantastic. Oh, yeah. 708, the Kane guy playoff game that they won. Shillelagh guy. I feel like we've come up with a lot of answers. What about realizing the Pope is a Sox fan? I feel like we've named many days since 2005.
Yeah, I think the day that we found out the Pope was going to be from Chicago and a Sox fan is a pretty big day
as well. And a Bob from the South Side, no less.
Yes, Bob from the South Side.
Man.
Number three.
There's been a lot of buzz on social media over the past month about Bears backup quarterback Tyson Bagent's haircut. Here's what Bagent told reporters when asked about it Thursday at Halas Hall.
What went into the hair change?
I was tired of that. It was every time I was working out, I'm putting it up and it's coming out of the bun. And it was just, I didn't do a good job taking care of it. And I feel like I kind of served my time with that. So, yeah, I'm back now. I'm back.
Thank you for PCA walking around.
I've got that a bunch since I cut the hair. So, yeah, not a bad comparison. He's playing pretty well right now.
Bears backup quarterback Tyson Bagent. Was the long hair a better look, or is twinning with Cubs center fielder Pete Crow Armstrong the move?
How about the fact that all you had to say to Tyson Bagent was PCA, and he knew you were talking about Pete Crow Armstrong?
Well,
that's a low-key layer of this story.
We don't know if that's because he got called him so much because of the haircut, and that's how he became familiar with his work.
I don't care how he knows about him.
Okay. I was just going to say that could very well be it. But that got it on the radar, that to the point that he now knows that man's initials.
Also, it just sounds like an equipment issue here. Just get a better hair tie. Like, I have these plastic ones that look like an old-school telephone cord, and they're much better because they interlock, and then you can put your hair up in a bun, and then it stays. That's how I work out.
I'm with him completely on the idea that the maintenance is now low. Every other day, I get in the shower, and I shave my head, and it takes 2 minutes, and it's glorious at the fact that I don't have to go to the barbershop anymore. I don't have to get faded up. I'm just good. I cannot speak. If you have a nice shaped head, fellas, just take the plunge. Do it. It will save you money. It will save you time. You don't have to worry about your barber having a slot for you. Do it. Come on home. Come on home.
Hey, I love our barbers out there, but I co-sign as somebody with short hair.
I mean, I will say that, like, as a, you know, as an observer, like, you always look sharp bald. Like, I feel like guys can get away with it better than they think they can. If you go, like, just completely all the way, no hair up top, like, it's a good look for most people. Like, I think David Kaplan, for example, yeah, I said his name, looks better without hair than he did with.
What about Brian Urlacher?
That's a toss-up. But
I think he looks good either way.
Brian Urlacher.
I also, I like big hair too, or long hair. I just like hair or not. Like, whatever you want to do, as long as you're happy about it.
Layla's stance on hair. Hair or not.
So, yeah.
So I got a buzz cut. I think I was like in the 10th grade. I got a buzz cut just because. And I have a very bumpy head. I don't know what happened when I came out of the womb, but they must have just like been going like Mike Tyson on me.
And it was just like, Robbie, I said, if you have a nice, I put it out there. If you have a nice shaved head. If you don't, please grow your mane.
While
out.
I was getting like my
unless,
my
unless like you
shaved.
Have no hair left on your head, then just it's still okay.
No, just get the piece. Just get the piece.
While I was getting my head shaved, the barber goes, "Oh God!" And that's how I knew like it was bad. When the barber was like, "Oh no, I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have revealed this to the world." I knew that was bad.
Is that how they identify you and Danny Parkins? Is the smoothness of head beneath the hair?
Exactly. Me
could
and Parkins.
Could be.
Number four.
I know they lost yesterday, but is there a professional sports team that's more poised for future success than the Oklahoma City Thunder?
No, there is not, because they have so many bloody assets. They have draft capital for years, decades even. And you know I'm obsessed with the Paul George trade, and I have been on this show for a long time. I started talking about it again before talking about it again was cool, because I thought that it set them up for incredible success. And one of those deals where everybody got what they needed at the time, but then it just kept going. When you think about the relative age of the Thunder as well, where like Alex Caruso at 31 is considered the oldest man, isn't the average starting age of their five like 24 and a half or something? The fact that you even can use a half in the age, and it's actually credible. No, I don't know who's better set up for success for years and years than the Oklahoma City Thunder in any sport. It's really hard to say that, especially now when you consider how leagues are, the direction of the league. Like, would it be the Mets or something? Not necessarily. Not when you consider that the draft capital and what they've done is so working in concert.
It comes down to ownership, who you have under contract and for how long and for how cheap, and draft capital. And in no sport can you stack your draft capital like you can in the NBA. My goodness. They have 13 incoming future first-round picks, including 7 of their own and 6 other people's. Now, some of those are pick-protected, but who cares?
They don't care.
You have a lot. So, if they, let's say the Pacers somehow found a way to sweep the Oklahoma City Thunder. And they're like, we need to really retool here. They could actually just retool. They could send out who they want. They could trade the picks for who they want. They can do everything. They have all the flexibility compared to other teams in maybe larger markets who have less flexibility.
I disagree, DeviantBurn41 on Twitch. I think that Oklahoma will attract free agents because they want to win. And they see how it's possible.
They want to attract Giannis, I can tell you that.
That doesn't help Giannis move from a more metropolitan market in Milwaukee to a less metropolitan market in Oklahoma City.
I'm sure they got up-and-coming things in Oklahoma City that we don't even know about.
I do, because my family lives close to there. I still think Milwaukee is more metropolitan.
They have, I agree with you, but I'm saying, I wonder how nice the things are they have up-and-coming in Oklahoma City are.
I mean, you can get a lot of land or something.
No. I mean, like, restaurants. I mean, like, events. I mean,
Oklahoma City's on the come up. I have a lot of people I know that live there. A lot of oil money in Oklahoma City. So things are popping off.
Yeah. We call that energy now. They call it energy.
You can always judge a city by well off the city is or how much money they have or how up and coming. What are your hotels like and what are your hotel bars like? That's an instant identifier of how world-class a city you are, or not world-class.
Guys, I like a lot of places, and I've had a fun and a great time working in a lot of places.
Yeah.
But I live in Chicago for a reason.
Oh, what's that reason?
Like, let's not try to compare, okay? Let's not. Just sometimes y'all gotta... Yes, you can have fun in a lot of places. You can enjoy your life. But I'm here.
Yeah, I'm looking at Oklahoma City hotels right now. It's not a great look.
You could tell Giannis, hey, go look outside. And this is what he sees. Just don't, you know, as far as the logistics of the deal, that's not my area. I'm just the hype machine.
Yeah.
Number five.
What's your most favorite and your least favorite food mashup?
This question was inspired because I said the punishment for Tyreek Stevenson last year to TJ Edwards on this show should have been that Stevenson should have bought Joe's Steak and Stone Crab for the entire Bears team. I mean, everybody, coaches, front office. And then I was like, TJ's like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, what? You just said no to lobster mac and cheese. That's really what happened here. And then it actually got me thinking that sometimes the lobster mac and cheese of places isn't as good because the mac and cheese makes the lobster taste mealy. It's like some weird combination, like a glitch in the matrix where two amazing things sometimes don't always turn out the way you want. Like a relationship, for example. So that got us asking the question, like, what's your favorite food mashup?
What's your favorite food mashup, Layla?
So I got to thinking about all the taco remixes, like taco pizza, taco salad. And those came to mind first, and I think those are my favorites. Or, you know, I don't know of what it was born, but the Crunchwrap Supreme from Taco Bell, for example.
That's what we landed on? We did all that to land on the Crunchwrap Supreme from Taco Bell?
Layla, I've never liked you more. I think, in my opinion, the Crunchwrap Supreme is the best fast food entree.
It's not messy. What? You can take it anywhere.
It is the best. You can walk with it. It's just a perfect fusion of flavor. The sour cream and the nacho cheese together, it's lovely.
Okay. Now that that's been determined, my favorite mashup is definitely got to be loaded grits. That's grits loaded with cheddar and bacon. And if you have bacon in your grits with cheddar,
elite.
It is elite. That's what I'm going to do. Now, least favorite? Listen.
I'm listening.
I don't know why we do this, but I hate anything that has eggs mixed in it. So the omelet. The omelet. The idea of the omelet just drives me crazy. Give me all this stuff in the omelet without the eggs. But I don't want the omelet. I don't like that mix and mash. Also, close second for my favorite is the cronut. The cronut is delicious.
I'm trying to think of a mashup I don't love.
I thought that's the whole point, is we know what you don't love.
Well, some places do it well, but other places don't.
Well, can I tell them what it is?
No, I did. I mean, but I'm also thinking, like, is there one that outright any place it's always bad? Guys, do you have any like that? Like, outright any place it's always terrible and you don't know why people do it?
I'm struggling to think of one like that. I came up with my favorite union, my favorite one.
Oh, what's that?
Which is two of my favorite things that come together when it's pizza and mac and cheese. A mac and cheese pizza. Give me a slice of that any day.
I've had that. That's
delicious.
That's delicious.
I have that CeCe's Pizza. If anyone knows CeCe's Pizza, that's
hell yeah.
Yeah, $2.99 buffet before your time when it was $2.99, by the way. But it was a $2.99 buffet, and we went there all the time because $2.99? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
I mean, it was quite
all you can eat for $2.99?
And pasta. It was lovely.
Yeah. I got one for you that was bad, and it's no longer in existence.
That's probably
because it was not in popular demand. The fine people at Doritos, I think it was last year, came up with the idea that they should do the Mountain Dew, the special Mountain Dew, speaking of Taco Bell, what is it called? Baja Blast?
Yes.
They made Baja Blast Doritos.
What?
And I was like, okay, I'm interested.
No.
So you tried it. You tried them.
Oh my goodness. Terrible idea. No. And they're not there. They're not in stores to be found anywhere. So a lot of people agreed with me on that. That was just nasty.
Didn't they do the same thing with like Oreos, where there's like a billion different types of Oreos now with mashups?
Yeah, the red velvet Oreos are my fave.
Okay. Okay. But I felt like they did a lot of cross product matches with the Oreos as well. But yeah, mashups are for everyone, man. I mean.
Yeah, Doritos has a lot of hits, but that was a miss.
All right. Well, I think we've settled some stuff here, or at least tried to. Most importantly, the Crunchwrap Supreme is the best thing ever.
Oh, I didn't get my worst mashup. Anything with blue cheese. If you dip chicken wing in blue cheese, I'm out.
Oh, that's not
I'm
really out. A mashup.
That's not
is
a mashup.
It?
That's a sauce.
That's an accoutrement.
Well, I guess you're mashing. Yeah, whatever. But I just want to get that blue cheese take out. I think blue cheese is trash.
A lot of people do. You're not alone in that.
People also think shepherd's pie is bad. That's a 708.
That's a mashup. I like shepherd's pie.
It is.
Let's get back to some more White Sox talk because David Sampson was on the Mully and Haw morning show earlier today, and my goodness.
He was also on one.
Yes, he was. Again, just more opinions and discussion regarding the eventual possible sale of the White Sox. That's next on the score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Friends of mine have said, why don't you sell? Why don't you get out? And my answer always has been, I like what I'm doing, as bad as it is. And what else would I do? I'm a boring guy. I don't play golf. I don't play bridge. What else would I do? And I want to make it better. I want to make it better before I go.
That's Jerry Reinsdorf talking about his ownership of the White Sox. This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score. And yesterday, we got the news, the White Sox releasing a statement detailing a succession plan for Justin Ishbia, who we know is the minority owner of the team. Matt Spiegel was the one who reported he owns 35% or so. This pathway creating a possible pathway in 2029 for him to buy the team. Sox did not guarantee any transaction, but they did have a timeline. That is as close as I think we're going to get to any sort of clear path for the White Sox ownership to change. And there's been a lot of discussion on this, as you can imagine. One of the most notable voices is David Sampson of the Lebatard Show, the podcast Nothing Personal with David Sampson. He was on this morning on Mully and Haw, and he had a lot of strong thoughts, Marshall.
The thoughts were more than strong. They were very much, hey, if you think that this guy is going to come in and save the White Sox anytime in the near future, you are highly mistaken in Justin Ishbia, who, yes, if everything goes as probably Jerry has planned, in 2034 he'll turn the team over. But there's nothing that forces him to do so for another 9 years. And I think that's a big part of this, is that the initial announcement, you're like, oh, there's a succession plan, which got people excited because the idea was Jerry Reinsdorf won't be in charge and someone else with a lot of money can infuse some of that money into payroll. But there's other issues that come before worrying about payroll. And that's basically understanding that this is a deal in which Justin Ishbia does get a chance to eventually buy the team, but Jerry Reinsdorf gets lots of Justin and Matt and their father, Jeffrey Ishbia's money in the meantime.
Yeah, let's hear what David had to say about just the concept of Justin Ishbia himself being maybe not what a lot of people think it is.
I would say, and I don't want to, I love you and I love Chicago. I just don't want you to go to bed tonight thinking that Justin Ishbia and his money are your saviors. And that all of a sudden your payroll is going to go up $100 million and all of a sudden there's going to be a ballpark deal announced tomorrow. That's not how it works. It is far more subtle than that, what this transaction was. It was far more based in legal requirements than in any sort of, hey, we're going to be World Series champions in the next year or two. I think that the stadium deal is complicated. What the Chicago Fire did, the White Sox can't do. The White Sox cannot and will not and should not build an arena with private funds. You need a partnership with the public. And what the Fire are doing, it was good PR, but they're going to need public money too for infrastructure improvements around the 78 loop. So to me, the White Sox and the Bears are all fighting to figure out who's going to get money how in order to get the stadiums and arenas they want. And what the Fire did was not really upstage them. It was really a separate deal.
Which I think we are all understanding that the Fire did want to stake their claim. They said call dibs on their social media on a soccer-only stadium on the 78, which is something that we have discussed. But it only seats a reported or will 22,000 people. So we've tried to figure out whether or not there was room for something else on the property.
And there seems to be this understanding that there is room for something else on the property, but that doesn't guarantee it's going to be the White Sox that take up the rest of that room with their own stadium or ballpark.
In fact, the words mixed-use development were used in real estate terms. That means typically retail and other things.
Retail, housing, it could be a hotel, it could be a variety of things that would go on that site. It's a really big site.
It is, but that doesn't mean necessarily that you can put two stadiums on top of each other. Like, that's the other issue with this. I also think that payroll was my first question, because the White Sox adjusted payroll, this is according to SpotRack right now, is in the neighborhood of $67.8 million.
And where does that rank? Low.
Exactly. Well, not just that, but it's the fact that it's even that high because of really two people, Andrew Benintendi and Luis Robert. Andrew Benintendi, $17.1 million this year. Luis Robert, 15. Number three is where it gets interesting. Drops off to $3.5 million and Josh Rojas.
So if you're moving Luis Robert Jr. by the trade deadline and or keeping him on the team and paying, I think it's a $5 million buyout after this season to get out of paying him any more money, you're slashing a lot of payroll.
You effectively cut your payroll in half if you don't have Benintendi and Luis Robert on the team.
So back to Benintendi being available at the trade deadline, just based on what you're saying right now.
No, I'm not even trying to do that.
No, I know
right
you're not
now.
Trying to, but I'm saying that's another reason why it might make sense.
And when the word debt was discussed, too, in the transactional announcement, that was a part of this, too. We wanted to know what the debt was going to be, what debt was there to service. And Bruce Levine yesterday with us made note of course, the White Sox owe no debt when it comes to the mortgage or the ownership piece
so it's operational.
Of Guaranteed Rate Field because they don't own it. We do as the taxpayer. So how does that factor into all of this as well? Valid discussion when you consider all of those aspects. But Samson, I think, remained skeptical when it came to other issues. Like, let's talk about the capital infusion that the Sox would need from Ishbia.
So when you take on partners, anytime you're an owner of any asset, it's something called the sources and uses of funds. The source of funds, in this case, Ishbia. The uses of funds are generally one of three things. One, you pay down debt, meaning you take in money from people and you use it to pay down your debt, which helps with your interest payments, which helps with your cash flow during the course of a year. Two, you take that money, and we did this a lot when we took on partners in Miami or when we took upfront money from TV networks, we use that to pay the operating deficit for a particular year when we wanted a higher payroll than we knew we could afford. So the second reason to take on money is to handle the fact that you're over budget in a particular year or years. And the third reason is when you take on money that is purposed for some capital improvement. In this case, is the money being taken in to be used as a contribution to a new ballpark in an as yet undetermined location without a budget, without any plan at all? I would tell you the third one is unlikely, though possible. And I would say the first two are the far more likely, which is paying down debt or dealing with your deficits that you have in your business this year and next.
The reason why that answer was so stark to me is the one word that was not mentioned in the answer, which was payroll. So you have a situation where you're thinking one thing is possible, and this is a sobering reminder of what this actually is from a financial standpoint. As we listen to David Sampson, who was on Mullenhall, former team president of the Miami Marlins, explaining his view of the deal that went down yesterday between the Chicago White Sox and Justin Ishbia as far as an ownership succession plan for Jerry Reinsdorf, which could take place as early as 2029 or as late as 2034.
Right. And I think that's a part of this. But the Sox made the announcement for a reason. Like, that's what always gets to me. And Jim Margulis touched on that a little bit earlier in our show. They had to do something. And so for them to do this, I think, acknowledges that this team is not going to stay in the Reinsdorf hands. And that's a part of this, too, because we saw what happened with the Bulls. Michael, Jerry's son, now runs the Bulls. And that is not going to be the case when it comes to the White Sox. I do also think that the biggest piece of this is the 78 part, but people want to think that new ownership means that you're going to spend more on this roster. And I don't know how anybody could publicly accept those terms and then for years see your fan base waiting for that to happen and then not make it happen. Like, the eventual way that would turn out, people would riot. So this has got to be a case where you're going to expect more payroll and an increase when it comes to the player salaries and the quality of the players you're getting on the field.
Layla, that's the hope, but there's no guarantee that's happening anytime soon. I guess that's the biggest takeaway from really having a night to sleep on what this means for right. The White Sox and their immediate future. Now, if you're Justin Ishbia, who, again, you were getting ready to buy the Twins, it appeared from all angles less than a year ago. And now you're set up to eventually, could be in 5 years, could be in 9 years, you're eventually set up to purchase the White Sox. So in the meantime, David Sampson was asked, what is in this for the Ishbias? So, David, what is in it for the Ishbias?
It's a great question. So there's nothing more limiting than being a limited partner. And you can bet your sweet Bippy that Justin Ishbia will not be at owner's meeting sitting next to Jerry voting for who's going to be the next commissioner. You can bet that Justin Ishbia will not be calling Jerry and saying, you know what, I think we should sign Ohtani. There are certain privileges and rights that you get when you are involved in a step transaction like this, where you could have some say for certain things, like a stadium, for example, how a stadium gets built or funded or financed, because that will impact you when you take over way down the line. But for short-term decisions, I would argue that Ishbia is no different than you are. He's just paying a lot more for the privilege.
I would argue that that is mostly the case because of knowing Jerry Reinsdorf. Like, and this statement that the Sox released yesterday echoes that.
Yeah, they were very adamant about what isn't happening right now, and that's that Ishbia is able to do anything more than a typical limited partner, to be honest. And he already had that role with the White Sox, so it will be interesting to see if and when Jerry does decide to change things. He is a fully functioning owner right now who is very much involved in the day-to-day. It's not like he's some figurehead owner. He's a guy who is out here making decisions. He's been a businessman his whole life. That has not changed. It has not slowed down. It has not ceased.
Well, and not just that, but even in the statement, it reiterated that Jerry was going to continue to be the sole day-to-day decision maker for the club, direct quote. So that lets you know. Samson, I think, reiterating that point. But either way, the optics on this, I understand that it's not as simple as, hey, here's a plan. Or at least here's a timeline of a plan. There needs to be some sort of acknowledgement to fans as to what this means for them.
It doesn't mean anything right now. Nothing. This is about expediting, and there's nothing's going to be expedited. This is, according to David Sampson, this is simply a waiting game for Justin Ishbia.
I think it was people so badly misunderstood this news. The headline was White Sox sold, Jerry stepping down, the end of an era. Jerry Reinsdorf is going to keep running that team until he passes away, and that was always his plan. This change of control could happen when he's 98 years old. That's 2034. That's when Justin Ishbia has the right to take over. Now, in the years before that, Jerry Reinsdorf has the right to give him the team, meaning give over control, but that's never been his plan. From an estate planning standpoint, the Bulls were going to stay in the family, and the White Sox were going to be out of the family. This is just standard what he was going to do. And the announcement was done because the White Sox needed current day capital infusion and got it from Justin Ishbia in return for this future date, way far from now, of the carrot of taking over.
So what I was going to say is that before we heard that piece of it, is that fans deserve more answers as to what this means for the team and how they're going to see it happen on the field. And I'm going to say that again and again, because this can't be like this forever. And even in this case, forever means 2029 or 2034. The current look of the White Sox can't be something that continues for that many years. You can't still be talking about 100 lost teams. The payroll can't continue to be like this.
No, I think the payroll is going to go up. And I think that the quality of play is going to go up. And I think you're seeing a little bit of that right now in the fact that this team is way more watchable. I know it's a low bar than what we saw last year in a record-setting season, but I think things are going to get better quicker than I thought anyway from a position player standpoint, which is what I'm more concerned about as opposed to the pitching.
But even in the case of more watchable, Jerry Reinsdorf hired Chris Getz to save time. And that clock is ticking on the time that he did save there.
I hate to see what it looked like otherwise.
So if that's the case, then you need to understand that you just put another clock on yourself. And as to what the team looks like in between now and then, there is going to be an expectation because of these things. This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score. We have more coming up. We'll get into the series between the two best teams in baseball, Cubs and Tigers, next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You're listening to Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Beautiful night, 83 at game time. And the pitch to Happ, drilled in the air, right field. If it's fair, it's going to leave the yard. That ball is gone to the upper deck. A booming home run for Ian Happ, and the Cubs lead 5-0. It hit the facing of the third deck, fair by maybe 30 or 40 feet and gone by a whole bunch. 83.
Wouldn't you know what happens when you invoke 83? That was Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer last night. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. That Ian Happ home run helped the Cubs win the second out of their three games against the Washington Nationals, and now they begin a set with the Detroit Tigers. By record, these are the two best teams in baseball, Marshall Harris.
We've been waiting on this, right? Because we talked about the stretch, the 21 straight games. They come out of that stretch after playing 21 straight games against sub-500 competition at 16-5. Now it's on to the biggest series they've had since before this stretch, which was against the Mets, a series in which they lost against New York, also on the road. And so now you go to Detroit against a team that's got the best record in baseball with a bullet, but a team coming off a four-game split against the White Sox. So it makes me wonder what we're up against. But also, Tarek Skubal, that's a tough way to start a back-to-reality series, if you will, about this is how the rest of Major League Baseball plays when you're not playing bad teams.
Despite everything that they did against the AL West, despite facing the Padres and the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks multiple times in the month of April, I actually think this is their biggest test because of that reason. They don't have the same starting pitching strength as a team, so the series will bear out their offense, like we've talked about. Tarek Skubal is starting on the mound. He's already 5-2 with a 2.26 ERA. Ben Brown on the other side, so we get to see what Ben Brown is going to do. That means you're going to have to face the first inning, face that bugaboo for you, and what the Cubs lineup is going to look like. We know that Kyle Tucker jammed his ring finger earlier this week, so how is that going to play out, if at all, for him? Is that going to be an issue? You're going to need every bit of what you are going to have to do as a hitter in order to not only have a good approach against Skubal, lay off the breaking ball. You know, if you have to face that fastball, understand that that is a plus-plus fastball as well. I know Tucker was in the lineup yesterday, so I expect him to be back here, but are you going to be 100%? You better figure it out, because the best in the AL is going to let you know.
I think a bigger question here, specific to what you just talked about who they're going to face in this game, and Tarek Skubal, is we have a situation just a few days removed from facing another tough lefty. Is Michael Bush going to be in the lineup tonight? That's my biggest question heading into this. And if so, where is he batting? And also, how are you breaking up, you know, Pete Crow Armstrong? Will he be batting cleanup, or will he be further down in the order? Carson Kelly perhaps batting in that cleanup spot. I'm really interested to see how Craig Counsell approaches this specific matchup. It's game one of a three-game set, and it's arguably the toughest lefty that you can face. A guy who's the reigning Cy Young Award winner, and a guy who doesn't walk people. And when you don't walk people, that's part of why the Cubs machine works, home, away, weather conditions, whatever. They get on base, and they force you to work as a starting pitcher. So can they be that effective against Skubal? But back to your other point about Ben Brown. Okay, he needed an opener last time I checked. No opener. Does that mean we're over the stuff that he talked about after his last outing? He was spectacular in that outing, but are we good now?
I guess we have to be, because his name is on all our lists. His name is that guy. Otherwise, it would be Pomerantz, because it's typically the person who starts that first, you know, the first inning of the
game.
Who
had an opener yesterday? Well, Pomerantz was the guy. So I don't even know if they have like a second opener option, if that's what forced them to make this decision. I didn't know if he was ready or not.
I thought you were implying about the Tigers.
No. I'm saying because Pomerantz opened yesterday for Colin Wright. I was like, okay, so what does this mean for Ben Brown? Okay, I guess. But does he still need an opener? I don't know. We're going to find out together.
We're also going to find out if run support means anything to him, because that is going to be perhaps in shorter supply than we've seen in a while for this Cubs team. I think it's kind of like what happened when you faced Mackenzie Gore in the first inning and you got runners on base, but you couldn't bring anybody home. You've got to be able to make that happen against a guy like Skubal. It's him and it's Garrett Crochet when it comes to the two top dogs in the AL. And Crochet's a lefty too. So you knew you were going to face him at some point. And I like that even people talking on June the 6th about how this is a possible World Series preview, because it feels good to say those words regarding teams you know.
I think it lines up nicely when you're talking about teams that have the best record in each league and the two overall teams with the best record in baseball. But also coming off the 7-1 win against the Nationals, which is very different from the 2-0 shutout the day before, it feels like this Cubs team is doing the things they need to do overall. Ian Happ starting to heat up a little bit here. He's got a seven. He's hit safely in 7 of his last 9 games. Matt Shaw, 3 more hits, 2 more stolen bases. The underrated speed of Matt Shaw is something that I'm beginning to pine over a little bit.
Well, and also just all the storylines, too. Like we mentioned with Ryan Spielborgs earlier on the show, there are a lot of former Cubs who are playing with the Tigers now, or were in the system, as we know. Like, Gleyber Torres was part of the Aroldis Chapman trade. You know, let's go way back when you consider he's a part of this. Javi Baez being a functioning part of the Tigers, as we mentioned, and he talked to reporters about coming back to Chicago and what that meant for him. But when you put it all together, Zach McKinstry, another one, by the way, when you put it all together and this Tigers team is 41-23, this is not a fluke. This is by design. They are getting the most out of their players, and they're doing, I think, what Jed Hoyer always talks about in the whole playing over the actual expectation.
The numbers on the baseball card don't matter because they're numbers in progress. You can add another line for another year and improve on whatever it is you have on the back of your baseball card.
The other thing, too, about this is it is in Detroit, and that is a pitcher's park. It is massive in the outfield, as we discussed with Ian Happ earlier this week. That plays into Scooble's favor as well. But could it also play into extra base hits for guys who we see have power to the corners, like, for example, say, Michael Busch, Kyle Tucker, say, Suzuki coming to mind as well?
I love this aspect of one of the things you take away from yesterday's game. It was just a great reminder of how good this team is defensively. You had not one, but two outfield assists. Kyle Tucker, he could throw just fine. Leadoff batter, CJ Abrams, gets him trying to stretch a single and a double. That allows Drew Pomeranz to face the minimum in the first inning. It just everything feels in order when that happens. And then you had, was it Ian Happ the other way? Later in the third inning with one out, throwing out a would-be double-getter. And that just kept the game in order until the Cubs could get their runs and build a bigger lead.
The Cubs travel to Detroit, as we mentioned, playing the Tigers team. Pat Hughes, Ron Coomer, and Zach Zabeman bring you all the action on the only hometown call of the game as pregame begins at 5:35 right here on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
So the big thing that makes me focus on that defense is because Ryan Spielberg got on with us and told us just how good of a base running team the Tigers is. I'm interested to see how that dynamic works with the aggression on the base pass compared to Cubs outfielders who can mow you down if you try to get a little greedy.
And hey, Chicago sports fans, Chicago Sports Network is now available on Comcast Xfinity Channel 200. That's right, Comcast. Catch over 300 live Bulls, Blackhawks, and White Sox games each year. Visit chsn.com for more details. Chicago Sports Network, where Chicago comes first. Well, we get very Chicago coming up next on 670 The Score. Our friend Herb Howard of the Bigs, always a great football press conference question asker. That's right. He does ask the hot topic questions at the press conferences. We'll talk about that with him. And I think also sneak in a little NBA Finals talk because, my goodness, that game went between the Pacers and the Thunder was an epic one. That's all next on Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi, and 670 The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.